All right, you know, this afternoon we are starting a brand new series called Enact, Every Nation in Action. We're over the next, you know, 6 weeks, what we're going to basically look at, we'll seek to understand the mission that we have as a movement, okay, as Victory in the Philippines and as every nation all across the world. And we would basically understand and discover that everything that we're doing here, campus ministry, you know, church planting, which is what we're going to do next year, talking about Tagbilaran City, together with World Missions 10 Days, all of these things are basically hinged, okay, in the call that God has placed for us, and all of these are basically hinged in the book of Acts. Okay, and if you're here this afternoon, and you know your Bible, you would come to understand that the book of Acts is actually a blueprint. You know, it's like a blueprint as to how you're going to basically operate the ministry. It gives you a picture as to how the church actually started thousands of years ago. And that is basically where we are taking it off from here this afternoon. And I want us to understand that whenever you talk about a blueprint, whenever you talk about the design, it's actually very important. Because truth of the matter is, whenever you try to do something else, okay, that is apart from the like the brochure of a certain product, it's like a disaster that's waiting to happen. The overarching theme for this series basically is found in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says here, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Okay, a few things before we get this rolling. First thing, here's what I want us to understand. Looking at this verse basically tells all of us here this afternoon that all of us here, basically, we have a responsibility, and that is to be a witness. Okay? If you're here, you consider yourself as part of the church, or maybe you are a Christian, then it is actually automatic that you will have to go out there and witness. In fact, Bill Hybels will begin to say that the reason why people don't want to witness, when I say witness, I'm pertaining to preaching the gospel. And Bill Hybels would begin to say that the reason why Christians wouldn't want to witness or preach the gospel is mainly because of two things. Number one, they didn't really have that experience with Jesus. Or secondly, they're just really apathetic. Okay, so either of the two is actually a bad part for a Christian who wouldn't want to preach the gospel. The second thing that I want us to understand regarding this verse is this one. I want us to understand that this verse in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, okay, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." This verse tells us, okay, that whether we like it or not, the church of Jesus Christ will advance. The church of Jesus will basically advance. And what is rather fascinating here is if you look at how Jesus basically would said this, he mentioned three places here, namely Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. And I have a map of the three places right here. You would begin to observe that Jerusalem basically is within the vicinity of Judea. And Samaria is somewhere far off. It's like a neighbor. So you would begin to understand that when Jesus gave them the picture, it gives us a picture that there is like a progression when we are going to preach the gospel. Okay, the progression would go something like this. You start basically with your Jerusalem. That is why we disciple the city. Okay, you're the very nucleus of your relationship. That might be your very immediate family, your parents, or your kids. That might be our Jerusalem. And okay, you would come to understand that Jerusalem is within the vicinity of Judea. So it goes to progress to where? To the region where you are at. Okay, do you know what NIR is? Negros Island region. That could actually mean our Samaria or the entire Visayas. Or if not, it could actually be the Philippines. Okay, Samaria here are those people basically who kind of share the same culture as ours, but it's actually different. So those are actually our Samaria. You could pertain to your Samaria as Malaysia and Indonesia. We look alike. That could be your Samaria. And it didn't end, okay, in Samaria. Jesus said, he talked about the ends of the earth. Okay, he started talking about the ends of the earth. You know, from the very beginning, on the very onset, when he gave the call to the first century disciples, I want us to understand this. God, Jesus, gave his disciples a global vision. He gave his disciples a global vision. He gave them a global vision. It's like saying, hey, you guys are native of Jerusalem, but I tell you what, you're gonna reach India. You're gonna reach Rome. You're gonna reach the ends of the earth. And true enough, his disciples really took that call to the heart. Who am I? You take God's call for your life seriously. You take God's call for your life seriously? If you take God's call for your life seriously, then it is actually inevitable that the gospel would basically advance. In fact, you would come to understand that during their lifetime, basically the entire world was turned right side up. Okay? You would see the map right here that talks about the spread of Christianity. These people became martyrs for the gospel. It's simply because they took to heart, okay, God's call for them to bring the gospel to the ends of the earth. Okay? To bring the gospel to the ends of the earth. Now, here's what I want us to understand. Whenever you talk about your scope being global, if you are a person and you understand that your scope is global and not just local, it is actually needless to say that it actually entails a huge amount of work. Hello? It entails a huge amount of work. Look at this one. There is a big difference between someone running Jollibee right here and someone running JM Karinderia. Okay? The difference basically is, when you talk about Jollibee, their scope is global. They're starting a Jollibee here, they're already thinking about the next Jollibee somewhere else. Whereas JM Karinderia, it's not globally, it's just barangayly. Get what I mean? They put something here, they're not even thinking about branching to Motong or Banilad. It stays here. There's a huge difference if you understand the scope that you have. And here's what I want us to understand. According to Jesus, our scope as His disciples is basically global. Our scope is basically global. So meaning to say, there's no reason for us to slack off. Okay, we have to take this seriously. And in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, going back to that verse, it says here, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now look at this one. If you ask me right now, Archie, will it entail a big amount of work to go global? The answer is an absolute yes. I'm not just pertaining to our effort. I'm not just pertaining to our vision. I might also pertain to our resources. Right? If you want to preach the gospel to Zimbabwe, you cannot take a bangka going there. You need to take an airplane. And it's going to cost you some resources. Okay, you might make some sacrifices left and right. You might sacrifice this thing just to be able to bring the gospel to Zimbabwe. Okay? Now, here's what I want us to understand. Here's what Jesus said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. It is very clear that Jesus said, if you want to do the things that I would want you to do, you'll have to wait for the Holy Spirit. Meaning to say, at the end of the day, the game changer here is the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. The game changer here, basically, is the presence of the Holy Spirit. Meaning to say, we witness locally and globally through the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know how you view this, but if you're asking me right now, Archie, in what sense will the Holy Spirit be a game changer in terms of us preaching the gospel to the ends of the earth? I want to explain this by illustrating it. You love putting picture frames on your walls at home. You love putting picture frames. Here, your picture frame when you were still a kid. Remember that? Like, yung diploma mo. You put it on the wall. Now, here in the Philippines, we basically have two options when we want to do that. If you want to put something on the wall, just like this painting right here, you have two options. You could either, number one, use a hammer, or secondly, use a driller. Do you think both tools will get the job done? The answer basically is yes. The answer is yes. You use a hammer, it will get the job done. Use a driller, it will get the job done. The difference here is the efficiency. Okay, if you're using a hammer, it might take you several minutes to do that. Whereas if you're using a driller, it will take you 5 minutes or 2 minutes just to be able to do that. That is basically what it means to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. Things are well oiled in our life and we are more effective as witnesses. We become more effective as witnesses. What we're going to look at here this afternoon is Acts chapter 2, verse 38 to 47. You know, this is quite a lengthy verse. It says here, "And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 people. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Now look at this one. Let me just start this off by, you know, playing a little trivia game for everyone. We love this trivia game. Meron ba? Sige, tayo tatlo. Okay? Kaya ayaw nyo? I'm going to show you some pictures of a brand. I'm gonna show you a picture of a brand. And all together, upon seeing the picture of the brand, I want us all to shout or yell, okay, the product or services that that brand is known for. All right? You folks catch that? Are you guys ready for this one? All right, let's start off with the first one. If I show you Starbucks, what comes into your mind? Very good. If I show you a picture of David's right here, what comes into your mind? Salon. Product, services. Haircut, pedicure, manicure. If I show you a picture of Nike right here, what comes into your mind? Shoes. Next one right here. If I show you Samsung, what comes into your mind? Phone. If I show you this brand right here, Manginasal, what comes into your mind? If I show you this brand right here, what comes into your mind? Rolex watch, right? If I show you this brand right here, what comes into your mind? Pizza. Now, what comes into your mind whenever you see this picture right here? Cigarette, right? So you got all of those products. Now here's the last one. What comes into your mind when you see this picture right here? Now all of us are silent. Oh yeah, it's a church. What is a church known for? Now, who among you here can honestly say that we have varying answers? We have varying answers. If we as Christians are getting confused as to what a church is known for, then how much more for people who are not in the church? Are folks with me? By not being able to answer that clearly, it begins to tell all of us here this afternoon that as Christians, we have a problem. And our problem basically is that people are not usually clear on what church is all about. People are not usually clear on what church is all about. Here's what I want us to understand, friends. Whenever a company, an organization is not clear on its purpose, they end up being so confused simply because they're trying to do everything. A certain organization ends up being confused simply because they don't know their purpose, and because they don't know their purpose, they would want to get into every single opportunity that is presented to them. In the early 2000s, there was a product that was brought out by Apple company in the States, and it became so huge that it basically changed, you know, the whole concept of this product line and pertaining to the iPod right here. Only are familiar with this one. If you would make a careful research about this product, you would come to understand that this product right here didn't become popular because they added features into it. In fact, they sell so well simply because they eliminated so many features of MP3s. What they did was that they basically revisited what MP3 is for, and that is for music. Remove antenna, remove all of these strings that every single company plays on an MP3. They just revisited what an MP3 is for, and basically it was a huge success. Okay, they didn't add to the product, they actually eliminated so many features. And that is basically what I want us to understand here. Before I came full-time in the ministry, some of you here know that, you know, I used to run a very small business. It's called Busog Silog. As the name suggests, Busog Silog sells what? It sells silog. You know, over the years that we have been operating that small store, there was not one person who came to our store and asked for a haircut. You know why? Because they know clearly that this store offers nothing else but silog. It was just actually very clear as to what the company is basically offering. I'm not encouraging or telling all of us that we have to take the route of branding or marketing for church. The truth is, it's actually the other way around. There are a lot of, you know, secular companies out there who are using biblical principles, and they're the ones becoming successful. And this afternoon, this preaching for us, for all of us here this afternoon, is a very, very simple one. What we're going to do here is that we're going to revisit, okay, the three marks, okay, of the early Christian church, okay, in the book of Acts. Are you folks ready for this one? Okay, the first mark of the early Christian church is this one. They come together to gather. Okay, they gather themselves. They were gathering together. How did they start to gather? Okay, Acts chapter 2, verse 37. I like this verse. Look at this one. The people listening to Peter's preaching were cut to the heart. That's what the Bible says. Now, look at this one. I need a show of hands on this next question. Who among you here can honestly say that there was a certain point in your life attending this church, you were cut to the heart by a certain preaching? It started with them being cut to the heart. That's what the Bible says. That's basically how the church started. Here's what I want us to understand, friends. If you're here this afternoon and there was a point in your life, you know, you're sitting under a sermon of someone and you were cut to the heart, the truth is, I want to make you understand, it's actually a good thing for you because it gives you a picture that you have a heart of flesh and not a heart of stone. That begins to tell you that your heart is a fertile ground. You are receptive to correction. That you don't just brush things off. That's why you're being cut to the heart. I remember, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but I always experienced this, especially when I was doing the church. Every time I would attend a service, I never had any Christian background. I don't have any Christian background. My first encounter of Christianity was basically Victory. And, you know, this group of people were holding their services at Bethel that time. So I was invited to Bethel, started attending Victory Church, and that's my first encounter with Christian church. So I was sitting right there, and I just felt like every single thing that the pastor was saying was directed towards me. I was like, man, may nagbigay ba ng journal ko dun sa pastor? Bakit alam niya yung buhay ko? It's actually true. You know, even up until now, whoever you put up here, whenever I would see it under the preaching of someone, there's always a level of conviction that happens in my heart. And I want you to understand that's actually a very, very good thing. Okay, if you're being cut to the heart because of the preaching, it gives you a picture that the Holy Spirit is very active in your life. Throughout the week, you're always excited for Sunday. You're always excited for Sunday. You've been waiting for Sunday for 6 days. And finally, Sunday is here. From Monday up until Saturday, you have a lot of questions to God. You're asking God, Lord, why is this thing happening? And this thing, and then you sit here, you begin to be cut to the heart. It's actually God answering your very question. It's like saying, I am very, very active in your life because I know your issues. And the Bible is very clear that every scripture is what? It is God-breathed. And it is useful for teaching, for correcting, for righteousness of the believer. That's why it's actually a good thing whenever we feel like, you know, we are cut to the heart over a certain preaching. I want us to understand this. You know, for me personally, as a pastor, I owe it to God to preach the truth rather than just to preach my opinion. It is my responsibility. The reason why it really cuts to us whenever we hear the truth is because there are a lot of cobwebs of lies that are basically in our heart. And your heart is not just your emotion, it is the seat of your emotion. It is like your control center. And whenever you come here every single Sunday, God would begin to tweak some things in your control center. He would begin to tell you, you know what, you've been living this kind of life for 10 years now. We have to tweak this a little bit. We have to change this. That is why it is our prayer that, you know what, week in and week out, we all come here every single week. My prayer is that, you know what, God would just begin to change your heart, change your perspective as well. So whenever you hear preaching that cuts your heart, it's actually God, you know, doing a surgery to us. Kaya po, ito lang po yung suggestion ko sa kanila, wag po kayo mo offend. Huwag po kayo ma-offend. Pag nag-preach si Tom dito, nag-preach si Patrick, pag nag-preach si JD, parang si JD pagsalita pa lang, parang nakaka-offend na. Parang, bakit mo ko sinisigawan, sir? Pag meron po nag-preach, if someone is preaching here, huwag po kayo ma-offend. Archie, kasi it's impossible na hindi ako ma-offend kasi sa akin nakatingin yung pastor. Alam nga naman, sino tingnan ko yung chandelier? Tayo nag-uusap dito, hindi po na yung chandelier ang tingnan ko. That's the reason why you're being cut to the heart because we're talking to each other here. We're dealing with each other's issues. And that is why God is really going to do surgeries in our heart. And guess what? It's gonna run for the rest of our life. You cannot come to a point in your life where you can say, Lord, I'm already okay. I'm already perfect. It will never happen. Sanctification will take a lifetime. You will never be perfect in this lifetime. That's why it's actually a good gauge. If you get pierced through the preaching of the word, it gives you a picture that you are on the right track. But if your heart is calloused and hardened, that's the time you begin to shy away from all of this preaching and all of these things. You think you know better. You think like, man, this preaching, tama ka, para sa seatmate ko yan. Hindi po, para sa'yo yan. Kaya pinag-usapan natin humility yung topic natin ngayon. I still remember, you know, in the early days of this ministry, I mean, Victory Dumaguete, you know, Pastor Donnie with our former, you know, pastor here, we would invite, you know, different pastors from Cebu. And up until now, there are those preachings that still resonate in my ear. Do you have preachings where like that? You know, you still remember this preaching from 5 years ago? Man, this is the preaching that really made me cry. You guys know what I mean? I remember, you know, Pastor Ferkunanan, he was here one time. He used to be the senior pastor of Cebu. Right now, he's the pastor of our church in Canada. I remember him preaching to all of us. I felt like it was really directed to me. It was like saying, do not go to Gaza. I was talking about the story of Samson. And I felt like, have I been to Gaza? Why is this bothering me and stuff like that? And up until now, it really gets into my head. And it's actually a good thing. It's actually the Holy Spirit, you know, working out so many things in our life. You know, preaching, okay, whenever you sit under the preaching of anyone, it's actually good for you. It's actually very good for us. You know, that's why I want to encourage everyone. If you're here, you know, maybe you used to attend a different church. If there was a time that, you know what, you heard someone preaching to you that could be your friend and it really cut to your heart, maybe this is a good time to thank them after this service. Just text them for a while and tell them, thank you for preaching something that really cut to my heart. And they would begin to understand, ano ba yung sinabi ko? Ang dami kasi. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 to 41, it says here, and Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Can you imagine that? One preaching, 3,000 people. There are so many Christians who hate big churches. Now, if you come to understand, this is a big church right here. You're talking about 3,000 people. Are we gunning for quantity here? The truth is, it's actually yes. It's quantity and quality, basically. You go for quantity because you're talking about, that's why we want to open a new service. Why? Because we want to accommodate more people to hear the gospel. Quantity is actually very important here. A church should and must grow. God basically designed for it to grow. It says here in verse 41, so those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Here's what I want us to understand. When they came together, just like all of us here, when they heard that there's this guy named Peter who was preaching, there were thousands of them who came together. And guess what? They gathered together as what? They gathered together as strangers to each other. They gathered together as strangers to each other. But after the preaching, they started gathering as what? They started gathering as a community. Things began to change. they realize, you know, they have to be receptive to the preaching. They need to do something about it. From being strangers to each other, they became good friends for that matter. How many of you can honestly say that you have good friends here in the church? You have good friends in the church. It's actually a good thing if you know that. You know what? I have to, you know, say this to everyone. You know what? Whenever Rian and I would talk, we're always thankful to God that we are part of Victory. You know, I love this church. I'm not saying that this church is better than other churches. No, I just love the church where God has planted me. That's basically it. And I appreciate what God is doing through this ministry. And you know what? It wasn't like that at first. Remember those first few days that you were attending church? First few Sundays, you don't have any friend. Remember those days? And then, you know, you don't have any friend. You feel like the pastor was preaching. Turn to your neighbor and you're like, you don't know the person. It's kind of awkward. All of us here are once stranger, okay, to each other here in this ministry. In fact, I had a friend here in the church. When I started attending church, this guy was already a leader in the church. Leader na siya sa church. Tapos, nung nakita niya akong pumasok, because he knows me, he used to be my doormate. The moment he saw me, iniisip niya, ginudge niya ako. Sabi niya, ah, itong lalaking to, ito, akilala ko to, nakita ko to sa dorm. Hindi magtatagal to sa church. Ginudge ba naman ako? But, you know what? This guy eventually became one of my closest friends. From a stranger, we gathered together. He became one of my closest friends. Of course, I don't have to tell you who that person is, di ba? Walang yung JD na yun. You get to encounter so many friends. This is where you're going to encounter deep relationships. Guess what? It's actually in Victory where I really got to meet my wife now. I used to be the head usher of the church. I remember there was a time when we were ushers before. May mga necktie kami. Okay? Tagatali na yung necktie namin every Sunday si Pastor Donnie. But anyway, may mga time na ako lagi in charge sa tarpaulin. Eh, mahirap gawin sa Bethel yun kasi pwede kang makuryente. I would always get a ladder, climb up the ladder, put up the tarpaulin. Tapos dadaan dyan yung mga kids teacher, dadaan si Rian, dadaan yung future wife ko. We became friends in the ministry. We ushered together. Never got to be part of the kids church, but that's when relationship basically grew. And you know what? From gathering together, from being org mates, we gathered to become churchmates. And now, we gather in the same home. Can you imagine that? And that is basically the same thing with some of you here. Guess what? Okay, who knows? Your future husband or your future wife might be just around this room. Adonis met his wife in this church. Together basically means to come together. I have here a picture of a service we used to do in Bethel. Look at that one. I think this was in 2004. Nakita niyo ako? That's me right there. Yung time niya, kita niyo, that's my wife Rian right there in white. Kinakanta namin yan. I'm lost without you. Wala pa yung kanta niya, but this one, this deserves to be in the museum. The projector. I wonder where that thing is. Before, we would have youth service. This is more of me like telling the story of Victor Dumaguete. When we would have youth service, of course, a projector like that one, it's not dynamic, right? You would put the acetate there and then people would sing. So what we would do, while the praise and worship are you're doing their thing, the projector lady, she would put that acetate and she would try to do like that so that you know, the screen would actually move. And that's actually not rock music already. And sometimes we would draw on the acetate and yeah, a lot of them are still in the church and some of them are somewhere. Right now, people who came from Victory Dumaguete, they're just all over the world and they're ministering to where they are right now. Now, to gather means to come together. Here's the question. Why do we gather as a church? Why do we gather as a church? Okay, look at this one. Luke chapter 14 verse 6, it says here, Jesus went back to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he went to the meeting place on the Sabbath. The Bible says, as was his custom. Meaning to say, if you put Jesus in our context right now, coming to church on a Sunday is non-negotiable for him. It says here, as was his custom. Meaning to say, you cannot talk him out of attending church. When we love attending church every Sunday, nobody can talk you out of it. And Jesus basically modeled it to us. The problem with customs and traditions, the problem with customs is that the balikbayan ba, I'm just kidding. No, that's a different customs. When you talk about tradition, you know, sometimes we get so familiar with it. We become so familiar with traditions and sometimes it doesn't mean anything to us anymore. It is our responsibility to always tell God, Lord, break the monotony that is happening in my life. That every single week of my life is always brand new. It is actually a responsibility to do that. And Jesus basically modeled that to all of us. You know what? There are two growing trends among Christians right now. And it's called, you know, non-church Christianity and online church. The problem with these things is that you don't have any personal interface. You try attending, you know, podcast is great, you know, the video class is great, but you know, you don't have any personal interface. You cannot fellowship online. Can you do that? How would you do that? You cannot talk to the pastor while the pastor is preaching. It's just so difficult. Non-church Christianity, there are a lot of people who don't believe in the church anymore. And it's actually a sad thing. Okay, we need to be in the church because at the end of the day, guess what? God will come back. Jesus will come back for the church. Jesus will basically come back for the church. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says here, do not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. So the only way for you to counter a bad habit just like this one is to what? Is to create a new habit. To create a new good habit. And attending church might be one of that. Starting your Bible from Genesis might be one of those things. And this will really help us a lot. The Bible is very clear in this one. Do not give up on meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. It's actually a dangerous thing for people who are not in the fellowship. It's actually difficult for them because they would contend with so many things. One of them is this one. Look at this one. They could what? They could. Can you show it for a while? They could have lots of discouragement. They could have lots of discouragement. The problem there is that because they don't have fellowship around them, nobody would begin to encourage them. So they end up becoming more disappointed, more frustrated, and more discouraged. And they end up what? Throwing their towel inside the ring and telling God, Lord, I give up. For some people, they might lose sight of the gospel and false gospel could sneak in. Listen, these things could happen to us if we are not connected basically to the church. Sometimes we forget God's mission and all that He is doing in our city. We keep talking about, you know, planting a church in Tagbilaran, but if you're not connected to the church, how can you take part in what God is doing through the local ministry? You have to be connected for that matter. Here's one thing that might be a big blow. Okay, if you stop attending church, look at this one. You stop loving one another and doing good deeds. Look at this one. How can you love each other if you don't have relationships around you? Remember, the person beside you right now, that person will disappoint you. And it is during that time that they will disappoint you that we will have to learn to love them. But if you shy away from relationship, how can you begin to exercise, okay, that discipline of trying to love other people just like how Christ basically loved us? Sometimes we experience isolation and all that comes with it. False worship, you know, forsaking one another, loss of love to others, unity and submission. And lastly is this one. Sometimes we miss out on the prophetic voices that help us understand, pierce our hearts, and lead us to repentance and belief. I was telling you a while ago, you know, sometimes when we are here in the church, a message would cut to our heart. It pierces us. If you're not in the church, how could the message begin to pierce you? It actually makes your head bloated for that matter. In a leadership magazine, Carl Connor writes about the dangers of standing alone. He said, he gave a story about a few winters ago in North Carolina. There was a place, an intersection they call I-40, intersection 40, I think. And on the left side of the road, on the entire place, there was a heavy downpour of snow. And the snow was basically becoming so thick, it sinks inches. When he was looking at the side, he saw all of the pine trees, okay? They were really covered with snow. Because they were covered with snow, they become so heavy, they started what? They started leaning. But the thing is, when they started leaning, they don't really fall to the ground. Why? Because there are a lot of pine trees all around them. So basically, they lean on each other. On the other side of the road, it's more isolated. And there are several pine trees there, but not too many. But basically, some pine trees would be alone. And he has observed that those pine trees on his right were on the ground. Why? Because it cannot lean on something else. And that is the dangerous thing. Okay, if you try to become a Lone Ranger Christian, okay, it's actually a dreadful thing for us to happen. The second thing that I want us to understand, apart from them gathering together, is that they were growing together. Okay, they were growing together. Look at this one. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says here, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayer. The word they right here gives us an idea that the Bible is basically filled with us doing life together. Here's what I want us to understand regarding this verse right here. When we do life together, we grow together. When we do life together, we grow together. We grow together, you know, relationally, in terms of our character. We grow together spiritually, for that matter. A lot of my closest friends in my life basically are found in a church. Okay, we basically grew together. Our discipleship admin right here, John, if you know him, you know, John has become a very good friend of me and my wife, you know, together with some of you here. You know, he has been a good friend to us, and you know, we basically grew up in the ministry together. Okay, tried coaching the person, and right now, just look at this guy right here. He's just an incredible disciple maker. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says here, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. I want us to catch this. If you devote yourself into something, you basically grow in it. Devote yourself to Dota, you become good at Dota. Devote yourself with these things, you become good at all of those things. Imagine yourself devoting your time, your resources, everything that you have into studying God's word. You become so good at it. Devoting yourself in the fellowship, in the ministry. And, you know, just yesterday we had the second ever, you know, Victory Weekend for preteens, and it's really exciting. Imagine this one, you know, young kids as young as 9 year old, 9, 10, 11, they decide to grow together in the faith. I mean, it's an amazing thing if you have something like that. And that's why this is actually important for all of us, for us to grow together. It's important for us to basically grow together. We would spur each other. You know, I got so encouraged with so many, you know, answered prayers that we have in this ministry. And you know, even our kids, they're really, you know, passionate when it comes to, you know, to prayer, to Bible reading. You know, I had this, you know, prayer request, you know, a couple of weeks ago. You know, this guy, I bet, is a very young one, and this was his prayer. Sabi niya, "Our Father, who art in heaven, holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, and earth as it is in heaven." And amen. I'm going to frame that. The kid might not be able to spell it, but he knows what he's doing. Meaning to say, at the end of the day, he wants to grow in his relationship with God. That's why Jesus is just so amazed with little kids. I hope this will be our battle cry also, that we would just learn to grow with each other. Few more things that I'm going to end. You know, I have here a picture of a burning coal. Have you ever seen one? Nakakita na ba kayo ng burning coal? In Bisayang tawag dyan, oling. And basically, all of us know the concept of this one. If you have a burning coal right there, you take out one burning coal from the batch of burning coals, the burning coal will basically become cold. Okay? But if you put it back, it becomes what? It becomes hot again. And that really speaks to all of us here this afternoon. You know, not all the time, you know, you would feel like things are falling right in place for you. There are bad times and good times. And during bad times, those are not the times where you have to separate yourself from the burning coal. All the more you have to be with the burning coal so that their passion will be so contagious towards you. That even if you don't feel like worshiping, napapa-worship ka kasi grabe sila mag-worship. That's basically the importance of being part of the fellowship, being part of the ministry for that matter. That's why I want to encourage you, if you're here and you have a problem, you encounter some problems in your life. All of us basically. I don't think we run a week where we don't encounter problems. Here's what I want you to understand. Whenever you encounter problems, make it a point that you run to church people. Make it a point that you run to church people. Why? Because church people will give you what? They will give you what? Biblical perspective of your problem. They will give you biblical counsel. If you run to other people, they will give you perspectives of the horoscope. Nagkakaganyan ka ngayon kasi Aris ka, tapos Virgo, tapos ano yung mga nangyari sa mundo ngayon? Eh, kalokohan yan. Baka iba sa inyo, pag turn on ko ng FM, voice nyo pa marin, Mr. DJ, I'm really heartbroken right now. Bakit iha? Kasi po sa church, hindi ako pinapansin, gwapong lalaki. Run to church people. They will give you biblical perspective over the problems that you have. If you love NBA, there's actually a reason why Golden State Warriors won, they keep rallying their strength in numbers. There's actually strength in numbers. You talk about a group of people coming together, cheering each other. I don't know if you're familiar with mangroves like this one. The thing with mangroves is, whenever you look at a mangrove, you know, these are like frontliners. When there's like strong waves, they would be the ones who would be shelling the island from the waves. And if there's a strong current, you know, if they're not intact, they would be washed ashore together with the current. Here's a fascinating thing about mangroves. You know, when you look at a mangrove, their roots, the truth is, their roots are not really that deep. It's not really that deep, but the reason why they're standing strong is because their roots are intertwined with each other. Their roots are intertwined with each other. Here's my encouragement for all of us. My prayer is that all of us will get to be intertwined with each other. Na magkabulbul yung mga life natin so that we will always be strong together as a unit, as a church, as a local ministry, as a church community for that matter. Last but not the least, and I want to end with this one, is, you know, they gather together, they grow together, and last but not the least is that they were what? They go together. Okay, they were going together. Acts chapter 2, verse 47. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Here's what I want us to understand. Every single day there was a preaching. Peter would preach the gospel, this person would preach the gospel, and guess what? The church was growing. Friends, this gives us an idea. The church proliferation happens through gospel preaching, not through church splitting. You folks catch that? We don't have to split for us to grow all the more. All we have to do is go out there and start preaching the gospel wherever you are. We have been called by God to go out there and preach the gospel. If you ask me right now, as we end this, where do we go? And this is basically what we're going to tackle in the next coming weeks. We go to the what? We go to the poor and needy. If this is a group of people wherein they're really close to the heart of God. You don't want to mess up. You don't want to mess with the poor and the needy. We need to have the compassion for the poor and the needy. The next one will be for the what? For the next generation. If you've been with Victory long enough, you would come to understand that we're really rallying the next generation. Campus ministry, hello? And right now, we have a campus ministry. We call it ENC. Every Nation Campus. It's Every Nation Campus. It used to be called Lifebox. It used to be called... The different thing with this one is, it's very clear. ENC, unlike other parachurches... Now, parachurch ministries, we love them. I mean, they're doing so much work in evangelizing so many people. And we just welcome parachurches in the ministry. But ENC is not a parachurch. You know why? Because ENC is what? It is church-based. Meaning to say, they have an oversight of a local church called Victory. And that is what we're going to talk about, you know, 3 Sundays from now. And lastly, this is what we're going to do this coming September 10. We will go to the ends of the world. September 10, November 20, next year, April next year, we will go to Myanmar. October next year, we will go to Mongolia. Okay, December next year, we will go to Egypt. God has called us to go. God has called us to what? God has called us to gather together, to grow together, and to go together. Amen.